Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with current breaking news, culture, and warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Michael Saylor pays back his loan to Silvergate. Apparently, he got a huge discount. And what does he do? He buys 6,000 more Bitcoin. Holy cow. Michael, why don't you please leave some for the rest of us? That'd be pretty awesome. But yeah, Michael Saylor continues to stack sats. And look, that was one of the things that people were a bit freaked out about, right? When Silvergate declared bankruptcy, it went down, right? The news came out that Silvergate was the bank that Michael Saylor took a loan from, and then he kind of got ahead of it, and he was like, look, they don't hold the collateral, we don't have a problem here. But obviously he wanted to tie that up. We said we would follow up too when there was some more breaking news about it, and he did just that. He paid back the loan. Apparently he got a 22% discount, and he tied it up, and also to just show confidence to the community, he went on and just stack more sats. But when Michael Saylor stacks sats, he buys thousands of Bitcoin all in one go. Anyway, so there's that. And then also on the separation of money and state front, the G7 nations push for tighter global crypto regulations. But this also comes when there is this video that was going around with Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, and President Xi Jinping, who apparently has been declared president for life. They had a video where they were shaking hands, right? So, you know, again, Opti says it best, right? You can't ban yourself. You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So when some nations are like, hey, you know, we don't like this stuff, other nations are just going to pick up all of the opportunity, right? This is the beauty of, you know, the better flag theory, right? And, you know, Bitcoin is like water, right? it flows in the path of it's like electricity. It goes through the path of least resistance. So anyways, very interesting stuff. But before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How are you doing, Opti?
I am doing wonderful this morning. I had a few cup of joes this morning, Nico, a little more than usual. It is Monday. You have to knock off the weekend vibes and get back into the grind. But hey, man, it's always good to be here. It's always good to hang out with my friend, Nico, and then my other friends in the chat that are going to troll me. I'm guessing going to troll me today. It's Monday. But man, on this Saylor news, yo, like, hey, you know, I know it's a competition out here to stack as many sats as possible, but yo, he's taking all the Bitcoin. No, like, I think I saw a stat that Saylor and MicroStrategy owns one in every 151 Bitcoins. Like, it's just mind blowing how big his stack is. So shout out to him.
It's so absurd. Like, it's so absurd.
It's so absolutely absurd. Insanity. I need these like really low percentage interest rate loans. Like, yo, shouts out to Saylor. I need some of this kind of, some good friends out there so I can get some good loans as well. But anyways, we'll save that for the news segment and the numbers and all that good stuff. On the culture, I kind of want to recap a little bit of what happened since the Bitcoin skull. We've had a little more conversation over the weekend, and I'm going to bring in some other Bitcoin tweets and some stuff, even from the artists as well. So I think it's a good conversation point and a good place to jump off and continue the story that we covered on Friday. So this is where we're going to go today, Nico.
Beautiful. All right, everybody. We have a lot to talk about. Let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
right, everybody, before we start the show, I want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the planet, Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. And good news for you guys, you could use promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a huge discount to Bitcoin 2023. I want to go through some of the speaker lists. We have Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Michael Lewis, I apologize, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Jack Maulers, Alex Gladstein, Preston Pish, Stacey Herbert, Greg Foss, Matt O'Dell, Lynn Alden, Peter McCormack, Robert Breedlove, Jeff Booth, and many, many more. You don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration ever, Bitcoin 2023. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 27,250 sats per dollar, 3,670, block height 782,780, reachable Bitcoin nodes 17,449, blocks to halving 57,220, halving estimates April 20th, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,456, Bitcoin capacity value $148 million, realized monetary inflation 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin $526 billion with a B. Anyways, I want to talk about BRICS, right? Because over the weekend, which is really interesting, we're going to play you the clip from CNN, right? Over the weekend, Fox News and CNN, which are some of the most popular legacy corporate media news channels, we're saying the part, saying the quiet part out loud. People or countries are seeking alternatives to the dollar, and you have to understand that the U.S. would be like Argentina. But the reason it gets away with all the money printing is because it is the world reserve currency, right? So it has the luxury, the privilege of being able to create all that money, because all countries all around the world are holding US dollars on their treasury, and they're also using US dollars to facilitate international trade. Well, what happened was the US government decided to weaponize the dollar to go after their political opponents. So countries like Russia, countries like China, right, and other countries as well are currently seeking alternatives to trading in dollars, right? There was a very famous video of Putin announcing basically, we're going to settle transactions in the Chinese currency, the Chinese state currency, the yuan. And yeah, this is where we are. And here's the thing. It would be a very, very bad thing for anyone who's living in the States, right? Of course, you know, Bitcoiners are watching, eating their popcorn, but still, it would be very, very, very bad. And now the legacy corporate media is starting to pick up to this reality. Here's this clip that was posted by Matt O'Dell, and they're saying the quiet part out loud. Anyways, let's check it out, and then we'll talk about it.
Washington's weaponizing of the dollar over the last decade has led many important countries to search for ways to make sure that they do not become the next Russia. The numbers are revealing. The share of dollars in global central bank reserves has dropped from roughly 70% 20 years ago to less than 60% today, and falling steadily. The Europeans and the Chinese are trying to build international payment systems outside the dollar-dominated SWIFT. Saudi Arabia has flirted with the idea of pricing its oil in yuan. India is settling most of its oil purchases from Russia in non-dollar currencies. Digital currencies might be another alternative, and in fact, China's central bank has created one. All of these alternatives add costs. But the last few years should have taught us that increasingly nations are willing to pay a price when they want political goals to trump economic ones. We keep searching for the single replacement for the dollar, and there will not be one. But could the currency suffer weakness by 1,000 cuts? That seems a more likely scenario. The author and investor Ruchir Sharma points out, right now, for the first time in my memory, we have an international financial crisis in which the dollar has been weakening rather than strengthening. I wonder if this is a sign of things to come. If it is, Americans should worry. I spoke last week about the bad geopolitical habits Washington has developed because of its unrivaled unipolar status. It's even more true economically. America's politicians have gotten very used to spending seemingly without any concern about deficits. Public debt in America has risen almost fivefold from roughly $6.5 trillion 20 years ago to $31.5 trillion today. The Fed has solved a series of financial crises by massively expanding its balance sheet almost 12-fold, from around $730 billion 20 years ago to about $8.7 trillion today. All of this only works because of the dollar's unique status. If that were to wane, America will face a reckoning like none before.
I mean, it was, look, and I'll say it like this, right? If you are China, or if you are Russia, right? Or you're Cuba, or you're Venezuela, or you're North Korea, right? What are you going to do if, you know, the currency that you're using to facilitate international trade is being used by a hostile government to kind of bend your arm around your back? What are you going to do? You're going to seek an alternative. And you know, it kind of reminds me of cry wolf, right? It's like, you know, what did you expect was going to happen? You know, it's so obvious. Like, what did you expect was going to happen? And, you know, the U.S. government has had this privilege. And honestly, the people of the U.S. have had this privilege for such a long time, and weaponizing it kind of squandered it a bit. Right now, I think that, you know, I want to tie this in with what's going on with Bitcoin, right? I think other countries are going to try to replace the dollar, but I think that all roads lead to Bitcoin, because let's say it's the US government that's weaponizing the currency of choice for countries today. If China takes its place, what do you think the Chinese government is going to do? They're going to do the exact same thing. Right. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before people start to realize, holy cow, you know, Bitcoin is the solution to this. Right. Bitcoin's the money of enemies, like we always say. You know, you can't censor it, can't change the monetary policy. And I think that, you know, all roads lead to Bitcoin. I think that it's inevitable that countries realize this. Now, this is bad news for Bitcoiners in a way, because governments are going to try to, you know, they're going to want to control money. You know, they get a tremendous amount of power from doing that, right? So I think the hostility is just going to continue to escalate. I really think that I think that if they don't have a money of which they can control and they can censor, I don't think they're going to be okay with that. I think they've been living in a world where that's always been the case. I think the weaponization of money I think it's accelerated, you know, over the last couple of decades. But, you know, this does not come as a surprise to me. I think this is the end of the unipolar world, right? I think that we're transitioning to a multipolar world where there's going to be multiple world powers. It's not just going to be the U.S. But I think that if you're an American, if the U.S. does lose a global world reserve currency status, you better hope you have Bitcoin. Because your dollar is not going to have the purchasing power that it once had, right? It's very, very, very bad news for anyone who earns in dollars and anyone who saves in dollars, right? The only reason the U.S. is able to get away with this ungodly amount of money printing is because other countries are holding dollars and other countries are using dollars to trade. And if that goes away, it's a very, very bad day for the average everyday American. But I mean, look, what we advocate for on this show is opt out. Get yourself some Bitcoin. I really believe opting, and I really stick by this. Dude, it's just incentives. It's incentives and it's game theory, right? Like, it's just a matter of time before Central American countries are just like, and I think El Salvador is really going to prove this. You're looking over and you're like, you know what? Like, fine, the dollar kind of sucks, but the yuan, you know, not a fan of that either. Why don't we just use Bitcoin? And I feel like it's just gonna, like, in an aha moment. Look, what we always say on the show, right, is that the next cycle, I'm so bullish about it, because that's the cycle where not only Michael Saylor is gonna be vindicated, I mean, he's almost vindicated, he's almost break even, right? But also Nayib Bukele is gonna be vindicated. Nayib Bukele is going to prove to the world that you can use a non-state currency as a currency. And right now, you know, people are just, you know, bashing on the, you know, the short-term volatility of Bitcoin, saying, no, he's crazy. But the next cycle is going to be undeniable. And what happens when all those other Central American countries that have been bullied by the U.S. for I don't know how long wake up to that new reality? What are they going to say? Do you think they're just going to stay like, you know what? I love the dollar. You know, it has Benjamin Franklin on the $100 bill. It's green. You know, the paper kind of feels nice, right? Like, let me just know, bro. You know, anyways, to me, I think it's inevitable. I don't know, Opti. What do you think, bro? This is some crazy stuff. Dude, you know that saying, right? Where it's like there's decades that nothing happened. And then there's months of which decades happen. I think we've been living through, instead of months, I think the last 2 years, decades have been happening. Every single month, we're like, no, it can't get any crazier than that. And then boom, you have this type of news. Anyways, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, it's more like centuries have been happening in the last 2 years. But anyways, to that point, I'm not only did I see CNN talk about this, but I also saw Fox News talk about this. So it's very interesting to be seeing this conversation on corporate press about de-dollarization. As Bitcoiners, we've been talking about this a lot, and people were referencing the Mandibles in the chat as well. And it's almost like Bitcoiners have the blueprint. We know exactly where the future of the world is going. But there was a very big glaring absence in this clip, and it was one word. Can you guess what the word was, guys? It's Bitcoin. Like, the answer is Bitcoin.
No. He did say digital currencies. He did
but say again, digital again, it's missing one word. It's the B word, Bitcoin. But hey, you know, I can't expect corporate press, I guess, to start shilling Bitcoin right now. But in time, they will. And further to that point, I really like the mental gymnastics that they did to never say Bitcoin. And he had a question in there. It's like, or he had a statement where he said something on the lines of, there won't be one solution to this problem. And again, as a Bitcoiner, it's like, yes, there is. It's called Bitcoin. You know, I hate to do the Bitcoin memes, but Bitcoin fixes this, guys. Like, I think it's important also in this video to emphasize like how big a number trillion is. What he said, the debt has expanded by 8.7 trillion. The U.S. debt, national debt is at like, I don't remember. I'm missing up the number, but it was like 31 trillion or 51 trillion or something like that. Like, it's just trillion's a really big number, guys. Like, I know it's hard to grasp how big numbers really work. It's
31 trillion.
Okay, thank you.
31 trillion.
Yeah, it's just absolutely insane that this is where we are.
Dude,
in the last
20
years.
You know what's crazy is that the U.S. debt is 31 trillion, right? And the U.S. GDP is 23 trillion.
Jeez. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's so nuts, dude. It's so nuts. But I mean, like, what, bro, we always talk about this, right? Incentives. If you were in their shoes, you would definitely print. And what Bitcoiners are saying is no one deserves the power of the money printer. No one deserves that godlike power, because it is godlike power. You want to go on an endless war? Go for it. You want to pay for a social program we can't afford? Go for it. Printer, money printer, go burr, baby. Right.
Yeah,
and 100%. Look, but again, if it all goes down to incentives. If you are a Central American country, you know, if you're Ecuador that uses the dollar, you're looking at the U.S. and you're like, do you think they want to be in that position? Do you think Panama wants to be in that position? Do you think El Salvador wants to be in that position where they're beholden to the monetary policy of the United States? I don't think so. Right. So it just makes sense that, you know, they start to seek alternatives. Right. Anyways,
wait, Nikki, before we go on, I want to kind of take this moment as well to emphasize what we talk about all the time. You know, take your wealth, even a small amount of your wealth, and put it into Bitcoin. Download Blue Wallet at the very least on your phone and opt out of this madness. Like, I can name you guys a long list of what wallets I think we should be using, but I'm trying to make this as simple as possible for people. There's a lot of trade-offs. There's a lot of other good Bitcoin wallets out there, but I personally use Blue Wallet all the time. just a little bit of Bitcoin will save you from this stuff. I see a lot of people talking about, you know, what should we do? There's no solutions to this. And it's very simple. We talk about it here. We're broken records here on Simply Bitcoin. The answer is Simply Bitcoin, not just watching this channel, but that Bitcoin is the only way out of this.
The answer's in the name, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's because guys, let's just break this down. You know, using the yuan is no different than using the dollar. Like, I don't see the world trusting China to not do the same thing that the U.S. government has done, yep. You know, printing more government paper. Like, we have an alternative to government-enforced money, and it is Bitcoin. Like, I know this is a paradigm-shifting thought, but once you're on this side, you're like, how did I ever think it wasn't possible? Like, we are literally in a whole new paradigm of thinking right now, and it's going to take a long time for the boomers and the status to understand that we can have a money that no one controls. It's only controlled by an algorithm. Mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, and not only that, right? I think that as time progresses, people are going to start to realize that it's not red versus blue, it's not right versus left, it's orange versus green. Right. That's really the fight here. Right. It's orange versus green. Right. Anyways, everybody, let's get to news. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, everybody. So a quick update on this. We were kind of worried, right? So MicroStrategy says it does not have any assets custody with Silvergate, right? The company did receive a $205 million loan from Silvergate in March 2022, but MicroStrategy said the loan terms wouldn't change in case of insolvency. Well, we said we would have an update for you. We have an update for you. Michael Saylor tweeted this out today in the morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. He said MicroStrategy repaid its $205 million Silvergate loan at a 22% discount. I wonder if that discount came because of what happened to the bank. Anyways, as of March 23rd, 2023, MicroStrategy acquired an additional 6,455 Bitcoins for $150 million at an average of $23,000 per Bitcoin and held 138,955 Bitcoin acquired for an average of $29,817 per Bitcoin. Here's the official press release with the attached SEC commission, and it explains everything. Dude, this is... Michael Saylor has to leave some Bitcoin for the rest of us, bro. This is not fair. I mean, it is fair, but holy cow. It's a lot. He's stacking fields of corn, man. That's all I got to say.
Well, guys, I know Saylor's a billionaire here, but don't let Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy outstack you guys. Like, stop selling your Bitcoin to him. I know, like, there is some kind of bills and life responsibilities, and sometimes you have to trade some Bitcoin to live, but just stop selling your Bitcoin right now. We're almost at the start of a bull market. You do not want to give up your Bitcoin at this point. But on another point, man, again, like I kind of said in the beginning, I wish I had this kind of loan structure. I wish I had this kind of a low-key infinite money printer that he is able to tap into. Man, it's absolutely a Chad, Giga Chad move. And shouts out to him for paying back his loan in regards to all the crazy stuff we've seen in the last 2 to 3 weeks. At least it's kind of actually, Nico, it kind of reminds me of what you always say. You know, Saylor will be vindicated this next cycle. And it's almost like he's making very sound financial moves, guys. And he is just scooping up all the freaking Bitcoin, man.
All like the corn.
It's almost terrifying how much Bitcoin he has, to be honest.
Just reaping in all the corn, bro. He's like, nah, I don't want anyone else. I get all the Bitcoin.
Dude, when is he going to own all the Bitcoin? Like, yo, don't sell him your Bitcoin.
What was the number? What was the number that Michael Saylor owns? Like one out of like 120
or something? Bitcoin Mag dropped a tweet this morning and they said that Saylor owns one out of every 151 Bitcoin. Like, it's just mind blowing. But Vake was telling me in the chat that there is more people. There's a couple other people that own more than MicroStrategy and Saylor. So I guess, you know, this next year is going to be very interesting to see how the corporations and the institutions dig their toes in the Bitcoin space and who is going to outstack who and how parabolic this price is going to go gradually then suddenly. But man, very, very crazy news. I mean, dude, he has 150,000 Bitcoin, roughly. Like, that's just, I wish I had that stack. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, man. But look, but if you break it down, right, it's a confidence game, right? It's such a confidence game, right? Because it's like, that was called into question. Like, what's going to happen with Michael Saylor? He has a $205 million loan with this bank that's going under, right? And then 2 or 3 weeks later, it's like, not only did we pay that back the loan with a 22% discount, we also stacked 6,000 more Bitcoin. That shows confidence. Not only that, we stacked 6,000 more Bitcoin at 23,000. Currently, the price is basically at 28K.
Wait, right? If we do the math, does this mean that Saylor's no longer underwater in any of his Bitcoin buys, right?
No. His break-even price is like 29,000.
So even with this new buy?
It averaged down. If the price of Bitcoin breaks 29,000, Saylor will be break-even.
Right? So this week.
Maybe. Anyways, everybody, let's move on to the other big piece of news. So we always talk about it, the separation of money and state. We've been covering diligently the Operation Choke Point 2.0. What is that, right? It's the attempt by the current administration in the U.S., the Biden administration, an attempt to isolate the industry from the traditional financial system. In my opinion, I think they're trying to stop or slow down the Bitcoin adoption. I don't think it's going to work. We also had Fidelity announce quietly that they're enabling Bitcoin purchases on their platform to their millions of users, right? So, you know, and again, look, can't stop market forces, right? Like, it's extremely profitable to bank Bitcoin companies, right? So, you know, I think we always say, right, Bitcoin exposes incentives. I think they're going to have to completely expose what it is they're trying to do and the reality of why they're trying to do that. Because right now it's all under the guise of protecting the consumer. And the FTX collapse and all this banking collapse provided the perfect smokescreen for them, right? But I think that if they really want to, like, they really, really want to stop this in its tracks, I think they're going to have to really reveal what their reasoning is behind this. And we were talking about this last week, right? It's not a coincidence that basically in the same months or the same couple of weeks that the Fed denied Caitlin Long's Bitcoin bank custodia was also around the same time that they announced the FedNow, right? Which is the, in my opinion, the beginning of the US's central bank digital currency system. Right. So I don't think any of those things are coincidences. But anyway, so, you know, zoom out a little bit. This isn't only just happening in the US. We covered what was happening in the UK as well. Right. In the UK, they were limiting the amount of purchases that you can make, the pound amount, the dollar amounts that you can make in the UK. And at the same time, what were they doing? They were advocating for central bank digital currency. So I think countries that have benefited from having the ability to print, a ridiculous amount of money. So the strong fiat currencies, I think those governments are going to fight tooth and nail to be able to maintain that privilege. And I think the guise that they're using is consumer protection anti-money laundering, terrorism, et cetera, et cetera. So here it is. So it says G7 will push for tighter global crypto regulations. It goes on to say the group of seven industrialized nations will make global crypto regulations tougher with a focus on increasing business transparency and consumer protection. G7 discussions on regulating crypto will accelerate ahead of a meeting of financial ministers and central bankers from the countries. Goes on to say, Japan already has one of the tightest regulatory regimes for crypto, with FTX Japan customers being some of the first to get their money back from the collapsed crypto exchange. Regulators across the world have been working towards a global consensus on regulating crypto. The Financial Stability Board, a standard setter for the global financial system, put forward recommendations for global crypto rules last October. The risks involved with crypto were a topic of discussion at a meeting of the group of 20 major economies last month in India. The group plans to submit a document on crypto rules at the meeting of the leaders of the G20 nations in September in India. Crypto has come under scrutiny from regulators following the collapse of cryptocurrency exchange FTX last year and the recent failures of SVB Bank, Signature Bank, and Silvergate Bank. Anyways, so, you know, again, I think the guise of consumer protection, and another thing that I want to comment before we move on, you know, this is why the crypto industry gives a bad name to Bitcoin, right? Yes, I think that everything that happens in fiat, you're going to get that times 100 in crypto. I think fiat is crypto, but crypto is fiat times 100, right? So I think you're going to get the same thing. But here's another thing, right, that happened when this news was coming out, right? The G7 nations saying, hey, you know, you can't have none of that. You know, we're going to stop that. We're going to regulate the industry, you know, under the guise of consumer protection. But what's happening across the world, right? We were talking about how in Hong Kong, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, was using Hong Kong as kind of this experimentation ground, right? Where they can get the benefits of Bitcoin, but separate the freedom of Bitcoin. So it's really interesting. More news came out in regards to that. This came out March 26. The headline for Bloomberg says Chinese banks court crypto firms in Hong Kong after mainland bank. And remember, this is all with the approval of the CCP. Crypto firms rushing into Hong Kong after the city opens its doors to the battered sector are finding a surprising source of potential support: China's state-owned banks, right? So while banks, about you have Operation Choke Point 2.0 happening in the US, where the Biden administration is being hostile, trying to isolate banks from the industry, or trying to debank certain Bitcoin businesses. Halfway across the world, the CCP, which banned Bitcoin mining within its borders, which banned Bitcoin within mainland China, is saying, hey, you know, you guys could bank with us. And again, look at the dangers that creates. First of all, it creates dangers for the US economy, because guess what? You know, it could potentially force, if the US government gets too tyrannical, it forces these businesses overseas. And where are they going to go? Hong Kong. And Hong Kong has its arms wide open saying, hey, you can come here. But at the same time, the banks that you'd be doing business with are owned by the CCP, which we know how they feel about Bitcoin. So, you know, it's just interesting how all this is happening. Like, it's a danger to Bitcoin businesses. It's a danger to the US for potentially leaving the US behind, right? This is crazy. And then all of this, everything that I'm just saying, reminds me of Opti's very, very wise observation. You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So, you know, the US government, you know, with this Operation Choke Point 2.0 that it's doing, you're not going to stop this thing. You're not going to stop this freight train. You either benefit from it, or you choose to ban yourself from it, at the risk of potentially these businesses fleeing to Hong Kong, which is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, which is a rival of the US in the first place. Like, this is total clown world. Like, are we not seeing the same things that they're seeing? Look, and then everything that I just said, now remember the video that went viral all over Twitter with the leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin, shaking hands with Xi Jinping. Does the US really want to put itself in that position where it potentially loses these Bitcoin businesses to a hostile, to a competitive country? Does it really want to put itself in that position? So again, it's, you know, playing with fire. That's what I got to say about this. It's playing with fire. Wake up. Take the orange pill. It's going to make everyone's lives better. But I get it. I get it. I get it, U.S. bureaucrats. I get it, okay? You've had this ability, print money for free, you know, pay for endless wars. And I get it. And Bitcoin comes along saying, hey, you know what? You can't do that anymore. But at the same time, we're going to make everyone's lives better. Right. And I get it. You know, you say that, look, no, I want to control the money. I want to control the monetary policy. Well, oh, man, this is the clash, you know, and Corey Clipson wrote a great piece, right? The race to avoid the war. This is why we got to win the race. This is why we got to win the adoption race. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, brother?
Well, first, on to your last point, we're going to drop an article tomorrow on our Substack, basically outlining the fiat incentives and it's a kind of a very good counter narrative to what we usually talk about. I know as Bitcoiners, we're very paranoid and we're like, man, these people are evil. But I'll leave that for tomorrow so that you guys can go read it. And then one more thing before I get into the G7 and the China news. Last week when we covered the Fidelity news, we did get a few updates on the whole rollout. I know a lot of people were talking about, oh, this is just a bunch of paper Bitcoin. Until they self-custody that Bitcoin, then it really doesn't mean anything. Well, we did get some grumblings from people that work within the company that they say they are either looking into it or going to roll out self-custody. So until that actually comes out, you know, our concerns are very valid. But if the rumors are true, then it is looking very good for like the Bitcoin adoption that we continuously talk about. You know, they have millions of accounts and customers. So, hey, man, I think at this point, it's almost one of these moments like buckle up, make sure your sats are in cold storage. Gradually, then suddenly things may get crazy. Anyways, to the other news, you know, G7, in my opinion, is just scared. And if we connect this with the Operation Choke Point like Nico did, we know that the powers that be, they want to stop the exit valve, aka Bitcoin. And so I think it's important to emphasize the words, you know, global Bitcoin and shitcoin regulations. They're trying to have that global connection within all the worlds. Like, they can't stop Bitcoin. They can only ban themselves from Bitcoin. But if there's a global coordination against Bitcoin, then they can definitely hamper the adoption of Bitcoin. And what are governments good at? You know, stopping innovation. So Bitcoin will only out innovate them, even with all the regulations. But hey, I think that's like the government's best job, is regulating and stopping innovation. Like, government agencies are extremely inefficient, and that's all they do. They stifle innovation because they are scared. And this is probably, you know, the only thing that they're good at. But again, it's all about incentives. And, you know, if your job was dependent on the money printer, then I am pretty sure you'd want to maintain your regulatory moat as well. It's just pure incentives of the fiat system. So I can't really blame them. They are humans. They do probably think that they're doing something good for humanity, even though they may be blinded and they don't understand exactly what they're doing. But hey, this is why we don't have to trust them. We don't have to listen to them anymore. We have a money that's completely outside of their control. Now, if you connect this with the China news, it is very interesting to see the Chinese government do a complete 180-degree turn from their mining ban 2 years ago. And I think that's a lot of signal when you connect the dots with the whole BRICS news that Nico was talking about, and everyone talking about dropping the dollar. Like, I think we are no longer in Kansas anymore, Dorothy, and the game theory of Bitcoin is playing out on a nation state level, and American bureaucrats need to step up their game and adopt Bitcoin, or else we are really going to be left behind. Like, if America wants to do an extreme upgrade and innovation of what is going on in the future, adopting Bitcoin would really throw a wrench into this whole government money game going on. You know, you don't have to compete on a government issued money level. You just adopt Bitcoin and you just start prospering, you know, aka a la what El Salvador has shown to happen. So I think it's becoming a very, back to Elizabeth Warren, you know, I think it's becoming a legitimate national security threat, just not in the way that they're talking about. Like, if you want to maintain your power in the world, you got to understand that no one is going to trust you anymore. Like, I think, you know, I'm an American. We are Americans. I think America is starting to become like the laughingstock of the world right now. And if you want to maintain that power, it's not about pushing harder to make more people adopt the dollar and enforce the dollar. It might be, you know, I know this is like a stretch, but like abandoning the dollar altogether and jumping on the Bitcoin standard. Of course, that is a bit hyperbolic, but at least endorsing Bitcoin, at least allowing Bitcoin companies to thrive in your country will allow us to maintain the footing that we've had in the world for the last, long time. So I'd like to see our bureaucrats stop fighting Bitcoin. But hey, again, as individuals, Bitcoiners will out innovate governments. And this is just part of the game. And I just really hope that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. And I mean, again, I think this is just very interesting to see things play out at this level. Like, it's just absolutely crazy that we are seeing, again, the Bitcoin conversations, the Bitcoin ideologies play out in real time. And man, the gradually then suddenly meme, I don't think has ever been more prescient than today. Like, we are really this, I think by the end of this year, like, it's going to be very surprising for all of us, not only maybe in price, but also just like how crazy things have gone. You know, can we get a week where some crazy stuff doesn't happen? Like, nope, not at all. Like,
nope,
at all.
Anyways, everybody, before we move on to the culture segment, there's a peaceful revolution happening, but you're not a part of it if you're not taking Bitcoin into self-custody. And if you take Bitcoin into self-custody, you gotta write down your seed. Well, don't write your seed on paper. Paper sucks. Put your seed on metal, and there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. Easy to use, hard to destroy. BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed phrases and passphrases, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. 10% off all BitPlates products using promo code SIMPLY. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer, Swan IRA, real Bitcoin, no taxes. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you could secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, if you have any questions, you could always shoot me a Twitter DM. Anyways, Opti, it's all you, brother.
Let's go. All right, guys. So as we've talked about last week and on Friday, everyone, I'm sure if you're on Twitter, is very aware of this Bitcoin skull, paid for by Greenpeace and Ripple. And it completely backfired on them. And over the weekend, we got a lot of dialogue going back and forth with the artist. And so I want to cover some of this stuff because on the one hand, it is very interesting to hear that, the artist may have become orange pilled, but also I'm going to probably throw a little doubt in there as well. But anyways, let's just get into some of this stuff. So as I covered on last week, and I only mentioned it, I thought this would be a good place to start. So we got the artist himself, Theo Von Wong, and he goes, "Totally agree with you. Proof of stake will never work for Bitcoin. It goes against its decentralized ethos. That being said, I refuse to believe that nobody on the planet can come up with a more energy efficient update. I don't know what it is, but we need to create demand first." And shouts out to my boy, Rory Highside, a very toxic and smart Bitcoiner. And he goes, "You clearly don't understand Bitcoin at all. Any energy that can be saved will be filled again very quickly. The demand is made up of conversion of energy to monetary units. Ipso facto, you can't save this energy." Anyways, we'll tie that back in at the end. I thought this was a very interesting comment right here. We got a friend, CB Spears, who goes, I officially start the bid at 1 BTC for the skull. Who's going to make the Google spreadsheet? And Theo Vaughn goes, oh man, I wish I was paid a fraction of that. So it's almost like he got scammed out of the commission. Anyways, that's a whole nother point. I really want to cover this thread right here. And I'm not going to cover the whole thread because I kind of want to get into how Bitcoiners commented on this thread. And I think that is the signal throughout this whole thing. Anyways, Theo goes, Thursday evening, I was sad. I just spent 6 months pouring my heart and soul into building an amazing installation to inspire real change for something few seem to care about. Then Bitcoin Twitter knows the skull of Satoshi and the roller coaster began. So he goes into some of his background that he's environmentalist. He wants to call action to things via his art. And this is what he is inspired and motivated to do. And so he goes, I made the skull believing that Bitcoin mining was a simple black and white issue. I spent my entire career trying to reduce real world physical waste and proof of work felt intuitively wasteful. Of course, I was wrong. Few things in this world are black and white. And then back and forth with Bitcoiners, he's seemingly starting to realize that, hey, maybe he was misled and maybe he doesn't have all the facts to the matter. So to his point, Greenpeace believes that human ingenuity and innovation will prevail and that a better version of Bitcoin exists in the future that has all the upsides and none of the environmental downsides. Anyways, Bitcoiners believe that Bitcoin will never change its code unless an existential risk exists for the network. Instead of fighting it, join it and improve it from within, work within the system of existing incentives, make the system more sustainable. He says there's people on both sides who believe that the other is naively optimistic, misguided, and misinformed. And he goes, the only solution that can win is the best one anyways. So rather than fighting each other and proving the other wrong, maybe we should get to some common ground and actually have a level conversation about this. But hey, as the Bitcoiner, I think that the Greenpeace and the Ripple Army behind it are not actually having a debate in good faith. And I will bring some topics and some other tweets in the end to prove my point. Anyway, the skull of Satoshi has taken on a life of its own and is now completely out of my control. In the real world, Greenpeace will use it as a symbol for why Bitcoin needs to change its code. Online, it's become a mascot for Bitcoin's environmental potential, and I love that. And so he goes on, at the end of the day, I'm not driven by profit. I'm driven by the desire to make a difference. So many of you have offered to send tips, but that would make it seem like I'm just trying to profit off of this. And he goes, keep calm, meme on, and long live the skull of Satoshi. So it seems, at least from this thread, that he is starting to understand that maybe he was either on the one hand misled, or maybe the issues wasn't as black and white as he thought, or maybe he's kind of backtracking a bit and realizing that you can't really go head to head against the army of Bitcoin autists on the internet. Anyways, I brought a few tweets from friends to kind of make our point for us and kind of give different perspectives of what Bitcoiners are thinking and talking about. And HodlNot goes, can only speak for myself, but the skull of Satoshi certainly isn't a mascot for Bitcoin's environmental potential. For me, it's more like a manifestation of Bitcoin doesn't care and laser-eyed conviction. This whole thread is a mess. And doubling down on this, Francis Pouliot goes, it's not a belief. And here, I'll mention the quote, a tweet right here. Theo Vaughn goes, Bitcoiners believe that Bitcoin will never change its code unless an existential risk exists for the network. And then Francis Bullitt goes, it's not a belief. It's a fact. Nobody can hard fork Bitcoin to change proof of work or any consensus rules. You can only create an altcoin, airdrop new tokens to Bitcoin holders, and try to convince people to agree to call the altcoin Bitcoin and give it the Bitcoin brand. And if you want a real-time synopsis of this, go check out the Block Size Wars and remember what happened when Bcash was created. Anyways, this was one of the good tweets that came out of this. This is from Preston Pish. It is a little long, but I do want to read it because it lays out things very eloquently. So this is the tweet. Preston Pish goes, the irony of the art is comical. If people actually want to understand why Bitcoiners are so amused, this is why. A 2-minute read. Demand response programs are essential for balancing electricity supply and demand, increasing grid efficiency, and integrating renewable energy sources. Bitcoin mining can contribute significantly to these programs by absorbing excess energy during peak time, providing a sustainable financial system less reliant on traditional fiat infrastructure. During high electricity demand, supply is often stretched thin, leading to increased costs and potential grid instability. Conversely, during low demand, excess energy, particularly from intermittent renewable sources like solar and wind, can go to waste. Bitcoin mining, with its immediate on-demand energy consumption, can function as a flexible load that adjusts energy usage based on grid conditions. By participating in demand response programs, miners help absorb excess energy during periods of low demand, acting as a battery storing energy in digital currency form. This helps balance the grid and encourages the adoption of renewable and already existing natural energy resources. In addition to environmental benefits, Bitcoin mining contributes to a more efficient financial system. The traditional fiat-based banking and financial infrastructure requires millions of employees, thousands of branches, data centers, and other resources to function, consuming significant amount of energy. By comparison, the Bitcoin network serves as the decentralized financial backbone, requiring far fewer physical resources and personnel to operate. Bitcoin's decentralized nature eliminates many intermediaries in the financial system, streamlining processes and reducing overhead costs. Sure, the mining process requires computational power, consuming energy, but the overall energy usage is significantly less than the traditional fiat system. Moreover, the Bitcoin network operates 24/7, providing near instantaneous global settlements, contrasting with the slow traditional finance system. Anyways, the increased efficiency of the Bitcoin network translates to reduced energy consumption per transaction. The transition to a Bitcoin-based financial backbone could result in significant energy savings, as the computational power needed for mining is less resource-intensive than maintaining the existing financial infrastructure. And you can see Sailor right here with the meme. Everything is good for Bitcoin. So while this whole thing may have backfired in Ripple's face, it's obviously started a new conversation, maybe a new dialogue for people that aren't aware of how Bitcoin's energy use really interacts with the world. Anyways, I really like Beautyon's tweets right here. And he goes, Wong is sad because he was lied to by Greenpeace and publicly humiliated as his heart was hijacked, repurposed, and put in service of the Bitcoin narrative war on the side of truth. In the age of internet, he should never have allowed himself to be echo chambered by Greenpeace. And I kind of doubled down on this because shouts out to Ghost of Whitman. And he brought some receipts here. And you can see that Theo Von Wong, maybe he wasn't necessarily lied to by Greenpeace. Maybe he falsely thought of, Bitcoin's proof of work as actually wasting energy. It seems like he had, environmentalist bent to begin with. And it does seem on the surface that Bitcoin wastes a lot of energy. Anyways, we have some tweets here, screenshots that Ghost of Whitman brought up. And you can see Von Wong talking about Coinbase customer support and anyone having better recommendations for buying Bitcoin. And then, of course, a super simple breakdown of the network effects of Bitcoin, why it is here to stay, even if you might hate it. And these are dated in 2017 and in 2022. And furthermore, in 2022, he said someone bought VonWong.eth. I guess I should take that as a compliment. So he's not very necessarily green in regards to the whole crypto space. Maybe he's just been misled in either by the change of code, Greenpeace, or maybe shitcoiners out there. Anyways, to my point in the beginning about Greenpeace, I think arguing in bad faith is very well described by Beautyon in this one tweet. You have change the code here. That goes, regulation is crucial to ensuring Bitcoin mining doesn't undo our climate progress. We need to know exactly how much carbon emissions Bitcoin mining is causing and then create clear guardrails to cut emission. And Beautyon goes, what CTC, Change the Code, has just telegraphed is that they don't know what the emissions level of Bitcoin miners are and that they just feel that it's a lot. Normally, science follows evidence, not the other way around. It's clear from this that Change the Code is motivated by politics, not science. And I think this is the crux of the whole conversation. As Bitcoiners have been pointing out, this whole Change the Code, the Greenpeace being backed by Ripple and the attempt that they're doing to make this political on Twitter is obviously in bad faith as far as I'm concerned and as a Bitcoin, because again, using Beautyon's tweet, Bitcoin mining is a highly efficient use of electricity where miners are trying to extract their greatest amount of hash rate from the smallest or cheapest amount of electricity. Mining uses less electricity than many other uses. And there's a great meme here of just how little energy Bitcoin mining actually uses in comparison to other industries. And this is kind of the crux of the conversation that we talk about here all the time. Bitcoin is so small and it gets so much lip service that it is becoming very obvious that the energy use FUD is not about Bitcoin actually affecting planet Earth, but it's more about a political stance to stop the adoption of Bitcoin. And I think that's the most important thing going on. Yes, as Bitcoiners, we know the truth, we know the facts, but there is one silver lining about this Bitcoin skull, and that is that there is a new dialogue being spoken of, and further, the idea that Bitcoiners, maybe we do need to kind of, you know, branch out of our little echo chamber, or, you know, the Bitcoin cult. Because the average person doesn't understand what we're doing. And I think if we, you know, I will say it for myself. I'll stop using the we word. Trying to make our message be a little more palpable, a little more digestible for the average person, I think would go a lot farther than just doubling down on the Bitcoin memes so only your friends and family or your friends in echo chamber understand what we're talking about. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but this is something that Nico and I have kind of taken upon ourselves is, okay, how do we get this message to as many people as possible in as digestible way as possible? Because most people don't understand our memes. Most people don't understand anything we are doing. And there's a great article here again by Budeon. I really like Budeon's work. And it's this article, Bitcoin Doesn't Waste Electricity. So I highly recommend you read this and then cover this stuff for your friends and family so that we can continuously spread the signal. But TLDR, I think what we saw happen over the weekend is back to the Bitcoin meme. Everything is good for Bitcoin. And even though Ripple Army and Change the Code and Greenpeace are very obviously politically bent to attack Bitcoin, we have repurposed the meme. It has become something that is probably now going to be a Bitcoin meme moving forward. This is mine now, and I just love to see it. But on the idea of arguing in good faith, if Theo Von Wong does basically become orange pilled throughout all this, again, I think this is all good for Bitcoin. As we continuously cover on the show and as other Bitcoiners show continuously with their work, Bitcoin is a benefit to humanity. And the amount of energy use that is used to protect sound money, I think, is negligible in regards to what it will do for society. And so, again, as I put out in a tweet over the weekend, who are you to tell me what I can do with my electricity when I paid for it fairly? Again, I am convinced, and Nico, you can back me off the edge here. I am convinced that the people that are using Bitcoin's energy use as a political FUD tool want you back in the Stone Ages, and I want to use more energy because energy means that society is prospering. So do not let them convince you otherwise. Do not fall into their frame. Energy use is good. Electricity is good. And anyone that tells you otherwise is trying to control your behavior, and furthermore, probably, no, I'm not going to say, doing some nefarious things. Anyways, Nico, rant over.
Bars. I mean, bro, like, speak of backfire, and you know what? I said this when we originally aired this episode on Friday, Opti. They try to make a meme, but the problem is that you can only make a meme when the common denominator is truth. When the common denominator is not truth, dude, like, it's, you know, like, they're... That message or that piece of art only works if everyone is buying into that specific narrative, right? But people are not buying into that specific narrative. People were not buying into that specific narrative, right? So like, it's not, you can't understand it. It makes absolutely no sense to the average everyday person, or sorry, the average everyday Bitcoiner, right? They're like, yeah, but that's not true. So yeah, bro, the Green Priest, Ripple, Chris Larson, they got out meme, bro. Their attack, we jujitsued it as Bitcoiners and we threw it back at them, you know? Anyway, and the artists like saying like, hey, you know, I'm so grateful for everyone educating me and stuff. Absolute clown world. Anyways, this is what happens when you try to out meme Bitcoiners, bro. We out meme you back. Anyways, everybody, speaking of memes, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Love it. Well, I was waiting for Nico. Kaboom Racks. Anyways, guys, this is the meme review, your favorite portion of the show, where we cover your memes. So tag me on Twitter, drop them in our Telegram group. I am sourcing all the material. Kaboom Racks. So that we can cover them live on the show. Anyways, before I go on, you guys already know we are in an information warfare. Tweet to the bullets, memes are the artillery. And just continue to get the signal out there, continue to get the calls of actions, because the world still doesn't know that Bitcoin is the solution. Anyways, I know I am the cliche Bitcoiner that has been watching The Big Short all weekend, actually for probably weeks now, but we got this good meme from Ben Rickards. And if you know, you know, he is based, or the Brad Pitt character is based on Ben Rickards in The Big Short. Anyways, he got this meme here. And now this is something that Bitcoiners, we say all the time. Imagine playing Monopoly and never buying any assets or investments that generate income. Imagine you just went around collecting $200, giving your money to the rich, and trying to stay out of jail. That is how most people live their lives. Stacking Bitcoin. You are playing with funny money, Monopoly dollars that are paper money, debt, IOU, instruments, and you think this is real money. Opt out of this madness, save in Bitcoin. This is the way. Anyways, this next meme is by @boom_hodl, and he goes, Bitcoin saves. And we got a bear, not referencing Bitcoin bear market, but we got a Bitcoin bear, and he goes, you okay? And there's like a little bear, and it's a pre-coiner hanging on the fiat system. He goes, I'm barely hanging on. And then we got the Bitcoin bear moving over to get under the pre-coiner. And the pre-coiner says, thanks, man. I can finally opt out of the fiat system. I can finally, you know, survive. And this is the way. I really wanted to bring this one because I felt this for myself. I like to call it Bitcoin Zen with my friends. Once you opt out of the fiat system, you no longer are just hanging on. You can finally start to thrive. Anyways, this next meme is by Don G. Amol. Bitcoin bash on Twitter. Sorry, bro. No coiners think they're late to Bitcoin. How can you be late to a finite asset? And we got, I don't know what movie this is from, but we got a dude and he goes, I lost so much money in Bitcoin, dude. And then we got the Bitcoin and goes, you still own the same amount of Bitcoin. This is the way, guys. I know that the volatility of Bitcoin scares a lot of people when the fiat price starts to fluctuate, but Bitcoin is the stable coin. Sats are the stable coin. Sats are my safety. And as long as your sat count is the same, you have not lost any value. As long as you don't sell, you have not lost anything. Anyways, this next meme is by BTC Gandalf, and he goes, everything is good for Bitcoin. And we got a classic Tom and Jerry dude, meme here.
It literally, what we tried to describe, or what I tried to describe at the end of the culture segment, that meme right does here. It in 2 seconds.
Power of the meme.
The meme
is the classic Tom and Jerry meme where Tom has a shotgun and he puts it in the mouse hole and then it pops out on the top and it's basically aimed at his head, and the shotgun is the Bitcoin skull, and Tom is Ripple. Wrecked. Everything is good for Bitcoin. Anyways, this next meme is by _overflow_, and he goes, Greenpeace trying to figure out how to change the code. And this is the other classic meme template of the guy reading the book, and the book is the block size wars, and he opens up the book and he looks inside trying to figure out how to change the code. You can't. And Greenpeace just sheds a couple of tears because they don't understand that they can't change the code. You know, as I said last week, Greenpeace, you know, release a bit. Maybe people will adopt.
No, that's not what they want. They want to coerce people into using their version of Bitcoin. They're not interested in releasing a bit, bro. They want to force you. Anyways, dude.
I know.
Anyway,
I know, but it still makes our point for us, guys. Anyways, this next meme is by Ghost of Becca, and she goes, stack sats and watch the fiat banks collapse. And we got the classic Reaper meme, except on the head of the Reaper, we got Jim Cramer. And the first door says SVB. The second door says Signature Bank. The third door says Credit Suisse. And then now Jim Cramer Reaper is knocking on Deutsche Bank. And as we saw over the weekend, very interesting stuff going on in legacy fiat world right now. Anyways, this last meme, I really like this one. This is by Heavily Armed Clown, and it's a play on the come and take it meme, the flag, or the don't tread on me flag as well. And it's Bitcoin, come and change it, github.com/Bitcoin, and it's got the green skull on it. I'm sure there will be a bunch of come and change it memes with the Bitcoin skull to come around for a while. It's taken on a life of its own. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat and we will cover them live. And in the meantime, I think I'm going to give this score a construction boot for the work that we have ahead of us
very fitting. I'm gonna give it this brand new white Xbox controller for the play that we have ahead of us.
Wow, look at us,
symbolic AF.
Symbolic answers today.
Symbolic AF. Anyways, everybody, before we get to the live chat meme review, I want to give a shout out to the awesome clothing company that sponsors the meme score, representltd.com. Check it out. Opti and I were wearing the merch. Opti's wearing the t-shirts. There's some t-shirts that are still left. This sweater is sold out. Get your Simply Bitcoin merch while supplies last. The hats are sold off as well. Check out all the other merch they have on the representltd.com store. It's stylish, it's comfy. If you ever see me at the airport walking around, I will 9 out of 10 times be wearing Represent merch because it's super, super comfy. You can use promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a 10% discount, anything on the store. Anyways, Opti, what do you have for us, brother?
I got a few in here. We got one drop. Drop your meme review score. But we got one right here, Nico.
Elaine. Score. Bitcoiners. Wait, Opti. Hold on a second.
It's right. kind of loud.
I know. Had to set the tone. Elaine, score. Bitcoiners red pilled about climate change. No comment. Planet Earth, giving these memes a money and power, a fresh perspective dropping tomorrow on Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered.
Yes. Check it out. We're dropping that tomorrow. You guys are going to like that one.
Go to www.simplybitcoin.news if you want to join our Substacks. Absolutely free. Opti's Coke from McDonald's. I see you, Nihilist Fields. Score. One straw from McDonald's and one credit card from the Bitcoin company.
Yo, savage.
Rope. Rating these memes. One rooftop Korean salty tweet. Betty, betty nice. Max Trotter. I donate my score to Orange Memes. Physical Bitcoin art. I score with an expired decline BlockFi credit card.
Oof.
Did they go out of business? Whiskey Bravo Mike. I give it my spicy noodle soup that didn't have the spice packet in it.
Wrecked.
Mr. Robot.
What a rug pull.
Rate the memes. Opti's date with Warren at the campfire eating steaks.
It was a delicious steak.
Tucson. I give the memes wine a kiss calves.
Allegedly best calves in Bitcoin, but
I don't know. Max Kaiser has something to say about that. Anyways, everybody, we are out of time. There's the buzzer. All right, guys, also check out we told you about Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. Check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. Our boy Darth Coin holds it down over the weekend. Go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. That's right. We host a space every single day of the week. If it's not on Twitter, check us out on Telegram over the weekend. Shout out to Darth Coin. He holds it down. Anyways, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push this peaceful revolution forward is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Spread the orange message of peace. We love you all. We will be holding it down on Twitter Spaces with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin. Best place to build your Bitcoin stack. Shout out to the best producer in the game, producer Jacob. Love you all. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.